Good afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirk and with Looking Up, a few minutes at the end of the week to think about whatever's up there. I find it extraordinary how much we know about space and the universe from just a few instruments and experiments, and of course a few rocket ships sent into space to have a look. We only began with flying machines in, 1903, and by 1969, a man set foot on the moon. So let me put in a plug for the film First Man, which is showing now about Neil Armstrong, and if you're thinking of going, I must say I can recommend it, I found it spellbinding. So, we have telescopes on the ground, and there are telescopes in space orbiting around the Earth and taking images of deep space. And the Hubble Space Telescope is the most famous of these, but another is Kepler, the planet hunter. Now, Kepler has just recently run out of fuel and ceased to operate. So to keep a space telescope or any object in its correct orbit, particularly those in low Earth orbit, a few hundred kilometres above the surface of the Earth, takes a bit of fuel to keep adjusting it and counteract the forces which would drag the craft back towards the Earth eventually. And fuel's quite heavy, so the fuel set up into space for the craft must last until its demise. And in fact, you have to leave some on board to safely park the satellite in what's known as a graveyard orbit, more than 36,000 kilometres from Earth. A decade ago, we thought our solar system was special, and now we know it's no such thing due to things like the Kepler Space Telescope. So kids born today will take it for granted that some or most of the stars you see up in the sky have their own family of planets circling around them of all colours and sizes. Astonishing that until the 1930s, in fact, after my own mother was born, we didn't know for sure that there were even other galaxies in the universe, never mind that there were planets around distant stars. Anyhow, much of the work in detecting extrasolar planets is thanks to the work of NASA's Kepler Space Telescope, which has officially this week reached the end of its mission. Since its launch in 2009, scientists have spotted a total of 2,681 confirmed planets orbiting other suns within the data gathered by Kepler's instrumentation. And there's another about 3,000 potential Kepler planets still being vetted by scientists. And these planets have many different characteristics, so there's a limit to what our current instruments can tell about them. There are several planets that inhabit what's called the Goldilocks zone, in other words, with the right characteristics to harbour life, and one which may very well be a water world. There are some which orbit stars billions of years older than our Sun, and which may host life very different to our own, we just don't know yet. And there are gas giants whizzing around their stars in a matter of days, and stars which may have many more large planets than our own. And there's planets orbiting what to us seem exotic star systems where two or more stars orbit each other with planets orbiting around them. So there's several methods to detect exoplanets, and the common one deployed by Kepler is to detect a regular dimming in the light coming from a star, indicating that something's getting in between the telescope and the distant star, a kind of eclipse. And there's many other planet hunting telescopes in operation at the moment and more to be built. There are surveys on the ground, such as KELT and the LCOGT telescopes in Sutherland, and there's the TESS survey in space and the huge James Webb Space Telescope to be launched in 2021. To many science fiction fans, it may seem obvious that the universe is teeming with planets, but we didn't know for sure until recently. So this month, the two open nights at the observatory feature similar themes. On November the 10th, Dr. Elias Eide will ask, "Where is everyone?" Well, they could well be on those faraway exoplanets, for all we know. And then on November the 24th, the talk will be Dr. Danielle Groenewoldt wondering whether Mars will be our next home. So those are the observatory talks at 8 p.m, second and fourth Saturdays of every month. So that's November the 10th and November the 24th. I hope you enjoyed our planetary theme. It's not a bad time to go looking at planets. The red planet Mars is high in the sky at night, somewhere in Aquarius, and Saturn setting close to midnight, Jupiter chasing down the sun and setting only an hour after sunset. So for now, this is Ketchel Kirkham wishing his dark skies.